The words of that verse Joey sang, telling us once again, emphasizing, underscoring while we're here this morning. We gather in this room every Lord's Day, the first day of every week. We always have, we always will. But from time to time, we take extra time. We focus on the bread and the cup. Some people may see this as ritual, highly formal. Some would call it strange. Others may look at it with indifference. But for those who have put their faith in Christ, for those who have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, this is a reminder. This is a powerful statement that we must always remember. We're reading through the book of 1 Peter in our daily Bible readings. Not typically a passage that you use to celebrate the bread and the cup. But as we take a closer look at part of the passage we looked at and part of the reading, some of the readings we had this past week, I think it once again underscores why we're here today. For in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it talks about tasting the kindness of God, tasting the very essence of what God has for us. Tasting is used in the Old Testament. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, 8. It's used here in this passage, and many think that Peter is making an allusion to that very Old Testament passage in Psalm 34, 8, when he says, "If you have tasted the kindness of our Lord." Tasting in the Old and the New Testament is a word that signifies complete, whole, not stopping short, experiencing all of what God has to offer. We may think some days of someone who had a near brush with death and say, well, they tasted death. But to us, in our language and the way we describe things, that means that they had a close call. Not so in the Bible. If you've tasted death, you've experienced death. If you've tasted the kindness of God, you've experienced a complete relationship, everything that God has in store for you. So as we consider taking the bread and the cup this morning, consider these first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. God's word says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." What do these three verses tell us as we prepare for the bread and the cup this morning? It tells us that we are to take some action, not to make ourselves perfect, for we cannot be perfect. But we do know this, though we cannot be perfect, we can be clean. And Peter's language here, when he talks about, though we're not perfect, we're clean, harkens back to that first verse, where he told us to put aside five things: malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Actions which we think about mainly coming from our lips, but they not only come from the lips, but they issue forth in evil actions, despicable deeds, ill treatment of one another. When Peter says put on, it's as though he's talking about take off one coat and put on another. Take off one pair of pants and put on another. Take off one wardrobe and put on another. It's an action. So it is our responsibility this morning to know, though we cannot be perfect, we can come to this table with our sins confessed, clean before Him. He also tells us that we can taste the kindness of the Lord. Whether he quoted from Psalm 34:8, no one will really ever know. But we do know this, that if we taste the goodness of the Lord, we've experienced his goodness, which tells us that those who come to this table, those who take of this bread and this cup, have tasted the kindness of the Lord. That means this isn't just for anyone. It's for those who have put their faith in Christ. That's my parents. You must help us with your youngest today. For one time in their life, he or she, those children, will come to a understanding of who Jesus is, what sin is in their life, and they will make that transaction. They will make that choice to follow Jesus, and then this bread and this cup will be proper. It will make all the sense in the world. If you happen to have come into this service today and you do not know Christ, we are glad that you're here, and we ask you to observe and to watch, because God beckons you to taste of his kindness, to experience a relationship with his Son. Those last two verses, verses 4 and 5. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What do those words mean? Well, if you go back to that day and that time, his figure of speech, just like tasting the kindness of the Lord, symbolized experiencing everything that God has for you. When we talk about being living stones, it's another figure of speech. But it goes back to the practice of building a building in the first century. Much different than it is today. When you set out to make a temple, when you set out to build a house out of stone, you always had that cornerstone, if you will. That rock that is cut just so, because it provides a foundation. You see, in that day and time, all exterior walls and even all interior walls, for the most part, were load-bearing. They supported the roof. They supported the structure. Not so in the way we build today. And that's why a founding stone, that's why a cornerstone was necessary. And the story, as we find it here, as Peter alludes to it, is that there were those who built a house one day, those who built a building one day. And they saw the stone that should have been the cornerstone, but they ignored it. They didn't think it was fitting. They didn't think it was appropriate. They didn't think it was cut right, that it weighed enough, that it had the right angles to that stone to function as it should. And so they ignored it. And they ignored it to their peril, because they realized that that was the stone they should have started with. They realized that that was the stone that was going to be the chief cornerstone. And so it is with our lives. We are living stones, the Bible says. We are living stones, part of a building of God. Not a church building, not a temple, not a place of sacrifice, but a church, a community. And do you see the analogy and how true it is? That there is that person that we must build our lives upon, Jesus. As he was the chief cornerstone of the church, he still is today. And we must build our lives upon him, upon his word, upon his life. He is the foundation that is worthy of our gathering around him as living stones and being made into what? Into the people of God, the holy priesthood. All those terms that were designated for the Jews in the Old Testament are now bestowed upon those of us who have put our faith in Christ. So we come here today to take this bread and this cup. Why? Because we know that we have built our lives upon the cornerstone, upon the true foundation. Others haven't. That's why we're here. That's why God has tarried. That's why Christ has not returned in his second coming yet. because we want to be a testimony, and we want to witness to a lost and dying world that the only one worthy of building your life upon is the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning, to take this bread and this cup. If our deacons will come, we will serve the bread and the cup.